Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, February 4th of 2019. It's hard to believe we're already in February, but we are. And I'm glad to see we survived the polar vortex. I think we need to print out T-shirts. And on them it'll say, I survived the polar vortex. I'd love to see that T-shirt. I survived the polar vortex. I'm serious now. I want to apologize for the late start. Had some things I had to take care of. But guess what? Praise God. Now, we're here. And due to time constraints, I'm going to get right into prayer. And then we're going to get the Bible opened to 1 Samuel 14. And then possibly Hebrews 11, if time allows. There's some sports stuff I want to get into tonight, too, but we'll see. Because I do want to get some time in the Word. Because that's really important. So, with that, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these people who have made the right choice. They've chosen to come on board to this radio program. That they've come ready to receive from you what you have for them. Lord, I just thank you that you speak into these people. You speak into their hearts. And you just work on the inside of them. Thank you that they have hearts to receive what you have for them this evening. Thank you that you use me as your oracle tonight. Lord, I confess over the show that finances come into this program. I claim right now that increases in listenership come to this program. And Lord, I also claim, I pray that sponsors and partners would come and get on board this show. And most importantly, I'm believing you, God, for more salvations. Salvations. People are going to give their life to you on this show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel 14. Praise God. 1 Samuel 14. We're going to continue looking at Samuel and Saul and what happened there. I want to encourage you, follow along with us. The reading starts when I find my spot. Just keeping dead air to a minimum here. One day, okay, let me know. I'm at first one. I'm at verse one, so just follow along. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Megron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Abijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sine. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Goba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come then. He will cross over toward the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and you go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us, and we will teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Verse 15 now. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outpost and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to the Agaga, "Bring the Ark of God." At that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the trumpet in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. The Hebrews, who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp, went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. Verse 24. Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies. So none of the troops tasted food. The entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. When they went into the woods, they saw the honey oozing out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with the oath. So he reached out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers told him, your father bound the army under a strict oath, saying, cursed be any man who eats food today. That is why the men are faint, Jonathan said. My father has made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted a little of this honey? How much better it would have been if the men had eaten today some of the plunder they took from their enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater? That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Azekah, they were exhausted. They pounced on the plunder and, taking sheep, cattle, and calves, they butchered them on the ground and ate them together with the blood. Then someone said to Saul, look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that has blood in it. You have broken faith, he said. Roll a large stone over here at once. Then he said, go out among the men and tell them, each of you bring me your cattle and sheep and slaughter them here and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood still in it. So everyone brought his ox that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time he had done this. Saul said, let it go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until dawn. And let us not leave one of them alive. Do whatever seems best to you, they replied. But the priest said, let us inquire of God here. So Saul asked God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hand? Oh, but God didn't answer him that day. Saul therefore said, well, come here, all you who are leaders of the army, and let's find out what sin has been committed today. As surely as the Lord who rescues Israel lives, even if it lies with my son Jonathan, he must die. But not one of the men said a word. Saul then said to all the Israelites, you stand over there. I and Jonathan, my son, will stand over here. Do what seems best to you, the men replied. Then Saul prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, give me the right answer. And Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot. And the men were cleared. Saul said, cast a lot between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. So Jonathan told him, I merely tasted a little honey with the end of my staff. And now must I die? Saul said, may God deal with me, yet ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan. But the men said to Saul, should Jonathan die, he who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel, never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. And he did this today, for he did this today with God's help. So the men rescued. Let me just turn the page. Well, they rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. Then Saul stopped pursuing the Philistines. And they withdrew to their own land. After Saul had assumed rule over Israel, he brought against their enemies on every side. Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment on them. He fought valiantly and defeated the Amalekites. delivering Israel from the hands of those who had plundered them. Verse 49 now. Saul's sons were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Melchishua. The name of his older daughter was Sherab, and that of the younger was Melchishua. His wife's name was Anahorm. His daughter was Ahimelez. The name, I'm just going to skip these names. All the days of Saul, there was bitter war of the Philistines. And whenever Saul saw a mighty or brave man, he took him into his service. I'm going to get into Psalm 15. Let me see how long it is first before I determine how long I will continue reading. Well, let me go, we'll go to like verse 7 or something. Yeah, verse 7. Let's start with verse 1. So, 15, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Kirath, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judea. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all of the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shurim to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all of his people he totally destroyed with the swords. We'll continue going down to like 15, and then we'll stop right there. So about halfway through the chapter. Verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle and the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. There, they were unwilling to destroy completely. They were not able to destroy. They were not willing to destroy those. That was, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord, the word of God, came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me, and he has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet with Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. And he has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out all of the Lord's instructions. Verse 14. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? And what's all this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. So I'm going to stop right there. Now, this is going to be a very brief exhortation. Then we're going to pray real quick, and then I got some sports I want to get to. What you have going on here, you know, first in chapter 14, Saul actually built an altar to God. That was his first time that he had actually done that. The first time ever. In chapter 15, we found out that a messenger had told Samuel, first of all, the word of God came to Samuel, and God told him, you know, Saul's not following my instructions very well. So I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to... And God said, you know, Samuel, Saul, the king that I had you anoint, he's not following my instructions very well. And he was troubled by it. And so the next morning, Samuel gets up. He goes to where I think Saul is, but a messenger says, you know, he went somewhere and built a monument to himself, for himself. And then he went somewhere else. He goes, he finds Saul. Saul says, oh, God bless you, Samuel. God bless you. And I imagine they did a handshake or hug or whatever they did in those days in Israel. But then Samuel said, you know, Saul, what is this? And what's the bleeding I hear? Why do I hear cattle, sheep, donkeys, all this other stuff? He said, those are the ones that people decided to sacrifice to the Lord. But we destroyed the ones that were weak. He lied to God when he said that the people were using it to sacrifice to God. He did not kill the best. God said, destroy all those people, those Amalekites, all those people, all those animals, not just the weak. God said, destroy all of them. He did not obey. He saved the best, destroyed the worst. But he could hear the animals. I mean, Samuel could hear those animals. Saul lied right through his teeth. And it did not end up well for him. And so God asks you something, you need to be very honest with him. And it's always good to be honest and truthful. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that you help us, and that you're with us, and that you just go before us and hem us in. And I just thank you, Lord, that we will all be doers of the word and not just hearers and readers only. And I give you praise and honor for that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. 7:42, so we're doing okay. I think we got enough time to talk about some sports. For basketball, no, let's start with hockey. You had the Red Wings get a good win on Friday night, which was really important. Yeah. And so that was pretty cool. And then the Pistons, they're still struggling a bit. They have a home game tonight. They're playing at Little Caesars Arena, LCA, as we speak. Like I said, I think that's one of the best arenas there is. Michigan got another win, which was great for them. Michigan State, however, suffered a loss at home to Indiana. So that's kind of hurting their rankings a little bit. Hopefully they can get back on the right foot and be ready to do well again. Because they're going to have to play Michigan in a couple weeks. So they're going to want to be ready for that. They had said that Michigan State would possibly have a better road to becoming a one seed than Michigan. I don't know now, since Michigan State just lost to Indiana. They could still win the Big Ten, but it's hard to tell. Mind you, that win was at home and not on the road. So what happened there? Who knows? I mean, it wasn't like they played him on Wednesday or Thursday. So, suck 'em. It's time for Super Bowl coverage. Yes, I use the Fox jingle because I like theirs. I like theirs so much better than that silly CBS thing. Mind you, Fox has been using theirs since 1994. So like 25 years. CBS has used those for like 15 or so. But guess what, folks? It's nowhere near as good at all. Just thought I'd get that off my chest. Let's get to the football. Well, there were points of that game that were interesting. There were. First thing I will tell you is, you had the New England Patriots did beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. Here's the thing. I told you. No, I didn't tell you. I did the pick using the coin flip on Wednesday night. We did the head tails things. We said the Patriots were heads. We said the Rams were tails. I did the coin flip. It showed tails. The coin flip said Rams. However, I personally did, in fact, think the Patriots were going to win. I did predict it personally, though not on the show. That coin flip, by the way, is for fun. What I'm going to do is give myself credit. I did think the Patriots were going to win. They did. Last year, I picked the Patriots. They didn't win. This year they did. This is Tom Brady's sixth Super Bowl trophy. Six. He has appeared in nine Super Bowls, more than any other player in the history of the NFL. Mind you, he's 41 years old. He's one of the best. He is. I love him. Now, mind you, he did throw an interception that ended the first series for the Patriots. And so we're like, Rams drove down the field. Try to get a field goal. Didn't get it. In the fourth quarter with 5 seconds left, they were down 13-3. I don't know why they went for a 48-yard field goal. There was 5 seconds left on the clock. If it's 13-6, the chances of you marching back down that field in 5 seconds after an onside kick are zero. But I get it, the Rams had the ball, so they couldn't just take a knee. They missed a field goal. What I want to say is this. This ended up to be the lowest scoring game by both the winner and the loser, as well as the combined score. Number four was the previous record holder. So Super Bowl IV was back in 1970, in which, forgot who won that, but that score was 14-7. A 21-point difference. I mean, a 21-point total. This 13-3 was 5 points worse than that, at 16 points. So that shattered that record. Big time. You know, one time point the Rams were driving the ball. They got this close to a touchdown, but then at the 3 yard line, the Patriots. I mean, the Rams quarterback throws an interception, and the Patriots get the ball back. Mind you, later the Patriots would end up punting, but. If you like defense, that was a good game. If you want offense, it was a rough game. Was I expecting a little bit more high scoring and some things like that with the Super Bowl being in possibly my favorite city in America? Yes, I was. And I'm proud to say that I got to at least step into that arena. I mean, to that stadium. My hope is to someday get to an event there, be it a Falcons game or something. That it is one of the best stadiums in the league. Personally, I would like to see the roof open and close. The roof was closed last night. And I'm kind of curious as to why it was closed. As far as I got was just into, I got into the Falcons gift shop and then into part of the concourse because we had to use the bathroom, so we got part way into the concourse. At least they let us use that, so at least I got to say I got into that arena. I never got into the Georgia Dome, and I'd been in Atlanta 2 times before that. I'm just thinking about something here, but you know, Tom Brady said it felt really good to be a part of this. And do I think they're going to try to get a number 7? Because if they get number 7, that will mean that no one else has won 7 Super Bowl trophies. No team. Right now they're tied with Pittsburgh for that honor, for the most. Mind you, all 6 of these were within the past 16 seasons. Excuse me. 01, 18, 17. However, from the season of 2005 to the season of 2013, the Patriots made the Super Bowl twice. Lost twice, 2007 and in 2011. However, since 2013, the Patriots have made it 1, 2, 3, 4 times out of 5 seasons. They were successful 3 of those times. 3 of them. Do I think they could get another one? Who knows? A certain enough player, I forgot who, but a certain player for the Patriots decided to retire. For Lions fans, let's keep our head up. We should feel good that we got to beat the Super Bowl champ, that we beat who ended up being the Super Bowl champs, and we beat them good. We got them good. It was a good, solid one by the Lions. Unfortunately, stuff happened later in the season, and we didn't end up keep playing like that. That was good. Someone on my Facebook said that might be the closest we ever get to a Super Bowl. I'm going to go, when I get home tonight, I might comment, and I'm going to tell them, I'm going to ask them, can you please have a bit more positive attitude? If, you know, you got to be positive. It's really important. Hopefully they can get some good wide receivers. Hopefully we can get a good running back, better defensive line. Matt Patricia, I think, is good for us. I just think we were dealt blows by some injuries and trading away Tate. So we were just dealt a blow. We suffered a big blow. We suffered a blow also the first two games. We suffered 2 blows there with those 2 losses. If we would have gotten 2 wins there, that would have been 8-8. But they could have been 9-7 if they did think some things the right way. But they got the 8th overall draft pick. We'll see what the combine has in a few days. I am going to keep my eye on this because I enjoy talking sports with you guys. I enjoy talking football with you guys. It's been great this season, me doing football coverage with you guys. I'd like to remind you, by the way, Football Central's on the Monday and Wednesday nights, always brought to you by Dairy Queen, the home of deliciousness, delicious ice cream, I would say. The home. Oh, yeah, I like that, the home of deliciousness, your local Dairy Queen. So I want to say thank you for all of that. And even when it just came more NFL and it was a little not as much content, but still awesome. Thank you, fans, for staying with me through this entire football season. It's been an honor to talk football. I will be back to talk draft with you and that when the time comes. We'll be talking some combine a bit next week, a little bit. And it's been great. Everybody listening to this program, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.